The Broski Report is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Broski Report. It's me, your host, Brittany Broski, the host of the Broski Report. Hey, so, a lot has happened since the last time we spoke. A lot has happened, and I've had to keep a lot secret, you fucking bitches. When I was like, episode coming into the month, everyone fucking lock in. And you guys were like, that wasn't that exciting. That was nice. And then it dropped. Yeah, everyone say sorry to me right now. Everyone say thank you, Brittany, actually, right now. Everyone say thank you, Team Broski. Say thank you, Royal Court Crew. Thank you, Stanley. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Team Broski. What the fuck did we... Hey, what happened? What happened after New Orleans? What happened at the New Orleans? Okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about having Harry Styles on Royal Court. Hey, does anyone want to talk about it? Because I think I'm ready to talk about it. Okay, so here's how that shit had gone down, okay? Here's how that shit had gone down. Imagine my shock and horror. Middle of January, I get a call. And the call essentially says, we'd like to have Harry Styles on Royal Court. Are you free January 28th? And I said, no, actually, I'm not. I'm going to be in Paris because I was doing Fashion Week stuff with Patou and Jimmy Choo. And it was like, okay, well, you need to find your way back to Los Angeles around January 28th. And I was like, why? And then it came out, the why. And I said, oh, suddenly I'm on a plane back to Los Angeles. I landed the day before. We filmed the next day. It was an evening shoot because he was so damn busy. He comes, the whole team comes in. It's Harry Lambert. Hello, Harry Lambert. It's all of Harry's, his hair person, his management team. We're sitting there. Harry introduces himself to every single person in the room, which, are we shocked? No, that's so classic. That's HS, bro. That's HS. And if you're familiar with the HS, you know that's his MO. Introduces himself to everyone. Harry Lambert comes over and informs me that he has pulled a cape. A custom privately acquired cape, not out of my humble peasant selection, from none other than the fucking Queen of Melrose's place, Queen of Melrose's store. And the Queen of Melrose was not working at the time because, of course, I interrogated him. I was like, so we moved to LA. My father's Jehovah's Witness. I was like, please tell me she was there. She wasn't there. Pulls the cape from there, the crown as well. Harry puts it on. And as he's walking out of the dressing room, I'm like, you look great. You know there's elf ears in there, right? Do you see the elf ears? He goes back in to the dressing room, comes out wearing the elf ears. Of course I pee on my pants. Of course I pee myself. Because what do you mean the first person breaking in the dumbass, stupid-ass elf ears that I have literally worn multiple times, not only on this podcast, but in YouTube videos? He's actually going to wear them. Okay. So we walk to set. We sit down. And when I tell you, like, there was a strange calm that came over me. And I think a lot of factors went into it. The fact that I have not only met him before, but I've been lucky enough to interview him before in a very short, silly, quirky, you know, for the Don't Worry Darling press. that was exposure therapy enough to prepare me to sit down and do this. You know, because it's like, hosting is a very involved job. You have to be so present to host, to catch a string of a conversation and pull on the thread, to get these people comfortable, to get them willing and, you know, I guess, open to opening up. And there are so many different personality types that, you know, over the years I've learned kind of how to navigate those scenarios. And it hasn't been without failure in some regards. But when it comes to Harry, I feel like I was so ready. Like, I'm serious. Did I take a gabapentin? Yeah, I did. I took a gabapentin because it's Harry Styles in my studio. He sits down in the chair and I literally remember being like, that's my friend. Like, that's my friend Harry. I'm not nervous. Royal interrogation starts. We're going back and forth. This, I have not seen that motherfucker be that funny since 2015 One Direction Funny Moments compilation. The amount of there's so much to say. Like, there's actually so much to say. The amount of comments that I got kind of saying that, like, to that degree, that is the biggest compliment I think genuinely I've ever received. Like, in my career as a host, as an interviewer, doing Royal Court, getting those comments like, you brought, and what I'm about to say is going to send a cold chill down my spine. You brought Hazza back? Bitch, Tommy Shelby war flashbacks. Bitch, Tommy Shelby in the tunnel World War I war flashbacks. You brought Hazza back? Don't say that shit to me. Dad, you can't say that. You can't say that I brought Hazza back because you need to be in prison. But you know what, by the way, yeah. Because who sat across from me? That was Hazza, bitch. I don't care. He was so silly and charming and funny. And I remember being like, that's him. And there's been, obviously, like, as a Harry fan and also someone who kind of works in this industry in a professional, and I say that in thick quotations, as a professional in this industry where I'm exposed to the record labels and the production studios or production companies and the PR and the publicists and the agents and the whatever of these people that we have on Royal Court. It's a lot sometimes, you know, and there's a lot of red tape and there's a lot of hurdles and things to jump through and over and like acquiescing, but also not acquiescing because it's my show. And, you know, it's just been a learning curve. This was, I think, the easiest shoot probably we've ever done. And it was so natural and normal. Everyone was so excited. It was such a positive energy on set, which, of course, selfishly, I was so excited to experience again. Because even as a fan of Harry, you know, without having met him, he is just a ray of sunlight. I've gotten to interact with it now 3 times. And I am so, so, so grateful. Because, bitch, there is nothing like it. Especially the type of press that these celebrities normally do. And when they walk into the Royal Court studio, I want it to be candles on, happy vibes, Tame Impala, the California Honey Drops, Olivia Dean playing on the radio. I want it to be light and happy and let's have fun. Because no press for a creative endeavor that you are proud to have made should ever be painful to do. And it's really unfortunate how these celebrities come in and they're jaded. They don't want to do press. And then they sit down and I'm like, you know what? Hell yeah. Because they leave and they're like, that's the most fun I've ever had doing an interview or doing press. And I'm like, let's fucking get it, you bitches. Let's get it. I am so proud of this show and what we've been able to accomplish. And having Harry on has been, when I tell you, after the Harry of it all, and I'll finish the story, but after the Harry of it all, I went home and journaled like a day or two later. And randomly, like by the universe's hand, I turned to a page in my journal because I'm like a psychotic journaler. I don't do it in chronological order. Like, okay, let me turn the page, new page. I just flip to whatever page in my book that I can because I'm so like filled with whatever emotion I have to get down. And I'm just, motherfucker, or I'm so happy with the, wow, I'm grateful to be alive. Fucking end another thing about. And so like I flipped whatever, the page I flipped to in 2023. I'm going to freak out. In 2023. I wrote a manifestation list of who I wanted my dream guest to be on Royal Court. Harry was number one. And I literally, on this opposite page, I literally read through all my manifestations. I'd say about 80% of them have come true. Manifestation is real. And I checked off. I said, Harry Styles on Royal Court. Check.
go, 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 go. What do you mean?
Hey, what do you mean? So I moved to LA. We do the episode and it's over. Him and the whole team, like, thank me and my crew and whatever. I take my team out to a team dinner because I'm like, this is such a milestone and not only the show's history, but my career as well. Like, I am so proud of what Stanley and I and my whole team have been able to curate, which is this positive energy of just, I want to bring the fun back to Hollywood and it doesn't have to be fucking miserable all the time. You know what I mean? Like, creating art should be the most freeing job. And it's amazing how quite often it's not because of the powers that be. So that's kind of my approach that I really have fun with. And the Harry of it all was just fucking neurotic. So we went out to dinner and then finally came back to my house and I was alone and I was laying in bed and it was dark. And like my nerves, I didn't really have nerves, but it was kind of like everything calmed down. And I remember just laying in bed and crying, like, of course, crying. Crying for like 15 minutes, but happy tears. Because how many times, and I'm probably going to cry thinking about it and talking about it. How many times as a teenager did I lay in bed and like stay up late? I forfeited sleep because I was reading fan fictions, or I was on Tumblr, like trying to find the best Harry lock screen, or like I was saving up money in high school to buy One Direction merch, or like my parents gifting me on my birthday tickets to One Direction and like falling to my knees and crying. And I only saw them once, by the way. I saw them at Midnight Memories. That was such a positive chunk of my, not only, not my childhood, but like my coming into myself, that the idea of sitting across from bro and asking him, have you ever peed on yourself? I don't understand what that path in life is, or if the idea of deserving it is even part of the question, because I don't know what you can do to deserve that gift of being able to kind of look your hero in the eye and be like, thank you. By the way, thanks. You know? By the way, completely separate story, but I'll get to this in a second. I went to the Peaky Blinders premiere in Birmingham, England. First and last time. I'll probably be in Birmingham, by the way. So, Green Chattin. Because Green Chattin, Peaky Blinders song puppet, by the way. And by the way, he did half the fucking soundtrack. I didn't know that. He's another one where it's like, bro, you're my hero. You can't talk to me. But then, of course, this flip side of my brain is like, you're 28. You're turning 29 this year. And these are like people who are normal and cool. You should, and you deeply respect their art. Go get a drink with them. No. Because what about this? I loaded my diaper. What about this? There's shit up my back right now. I can't go get a pint with Green Chattin, you fucking weirdo. We barely missed each other because we did the premiere and then there was this after party and like Killian was upstairs and I think Green went up and said hi and then he left early. And then like my Netflix reps are running around and they're like, Green Chattin has left the building. And I go, oh, thank God, I feel safer. Oh, thank God, I don't have to talk to him. I love you, Green Chat. I love you so much. Anyway, he's another one that fits into this category of like, yeah, I know we'll eventually meet, but I can't. Okay. Anyway, I giggle at the Harry of it all because, and if I seem calm right now, it's because I've had time to process it and I have processed it. Like all of those manic emotions that would just like, I would cry and then I'd also be like, okay, lock in, this is work. And then after, you know, it's like, can you still enjoy it if it's work? And yes, but also like you have to be serious, but not that serious. And it was just so much. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to Team Harry for trusting me with this because I, as a Harry fan, I know that he doesn't really do things like that. So I think it's been the reaction. Thank you guys for watching and thank you guys for getting my show to a point from your viewership alone where platforming Harry Styles was even an option. You know, like having Harry sat next to me was even an option. So thank you guys. I just like, it exhausts me to think about how grateful and how happy I am to be alive. It's just like, it's exhausting. My passion for what I do and my life, and it's just a lot. So. Thank you guys for giving a fuck. Hey, thanks for giving a fuck about me. That's actually the number one thing I wanted to say on this episode is thanks for giving a fuck. I appreciate it more than you know. The Broski Report is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Okay. With all that being said, let's talk about the fucking album. He needs to be put in prison, which goes without saying, but I want to talk about the album in detail. And is it sweating under my boobs? Yes. Here's what I have a lot of thoughts, okay? And I'm not going to hold back. Aperture was the correct single. I think it sums up the vibe of kind of top line of what the album is. There's so many shades to the album. And his slow songs, of course, are what some might refer to as psychological warfare. Coming Up Roses and Carla's song and Paint My Numbers, psychological warfare. Thank you for making them, but you can keep those over there. Because I'm doing, are you listening yet? I need him to do a spoken word album, okay? Anyway, I think Aperture is Lights Up's cousin. Lights Up. That song is related to Aperture. I also think Pop is related to cinema. Obviously, it's cunted older sister. Pop is cinema's cunted older sister. I think that Coming Up Roses is, it's comparable to a few of his sad slow songs in the past, but at the same time, it is entirely its own thing, and I honestly don't have a comparison for it, which is great. This album, okay, here are my favorite songs. I did a little Instagram story spree when I first listened to it, but of course, let's talk about it in detail here. Season 2, Weight Loss. That damn song, that fucking song. Well, the beautiful thing about this album is all of the tracks will be fantastic live. The production, so experimental for him. I love it. And I also cried at the end of the album because I was like, I'm so proud of him. Like, he's my best friend. I'm so proud of him for the creative evolution. And you can tell that there's a trust there that comes from somewhere in his chest. He trusts himself to make music that he needs to make. And kind of what we talked about on the Royal Court episode of, like, as an artist, if you're constantly looking over your shoulder, being like, asking your audience or a general populace, is this okay? Is this good? Do you like this? Should I change anything? Then that impacts the viewer and listener experience for any piece of art. As an artist, you need to be confident in it and you need to be 10 toes down and you need to believe in it. And I can tell he believes in this album. This album is great. And it is such a departure from anything he's ever done. So I love it, bitch. I fucking love it, bitch. I think it might be my favorite Harry album. Maybe it's recency bias because I would never want to shit on Fine Line. I'm not shitting on Fine Line. Just how different are those eras? I mean, night and day. But similar aesthetics a little bit. Similar. Of course, the umbrella is Harry. So everything will exist in this universe that we know. But this felt like a different planet. I'm used to being on this planet. Now I'm on a different planet in the same universe. You know what I mean? Season 2, Weight Loss, that is my favorite song. I loved Are You Listening Yet? I love that song. I also love Dance No More and a It's Back to Mother. Yeah, I'm gonna. You remember at Beyonce concerts when she would do Before I Let Go and the line dance that the crowd would do? That's, I feel like, if something like that needs to happen, line danceologically speaking, at these live Harry shows, because yeah, okay? I loved Ready, Steady, Go. I loved Ready, Steady, Go. That's another one I'm excited about hearing live. And I will say that this album in general is the first for me where I'm not hanging on every single lyric. Maybe that's because I'm pushing 30, but I remember like being 24, 25 and being like, what the fuck does he mean by watermelon sugar? By, you know, what's this? It's escaping me. On Fine Line. Come on. On Fine Line, the cherry. I remember hanging on every word, being like, what is this about? Who is this about? This has to be, you know, like Red String Theory, this, that, whatever. I'm listening to this album like, girl, I don't give a fuck. It's fun. The lyrics are fun. They're lighthearted. If there's a deeper meaning, maybe it'll come to me in the future. I'm not hyper-focused on it right now. Like, I'm experiencing this album. I think it's just part of maturing as well. Because y'all know there's that side of me that's like, I am psychoanalyzing, annotating Hozier, Florence and the Machine, Mumford and Sons, like all of those types of lyrics where it is so loaded, like filled to the brim with literary references, with allusions to like Greek mythology. So much world is in lyrics for those type of artists that it's a bit different for artists like Harry that you can't compare them. They are just completely different approaches to putting words into song. And with Harry this time, I'm like, there's some sexy little, okay, freak white boy, what the fuck are you talking about? Okay, say that. Like, talk your shit. But at the same time, it's like, this is just fun. I'm not digging into it the way that I used to when I was not normal. Because I am very normal, as we know. I'm very, very normal. The Broski Report is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
The Broski Report is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Speaking about being normal, speaking about things I'm normal about, we're actually going to completely shift gears because Night of the Seven Kingdoms. That's me putting you in a headlock. That's me putting you in a headlock because don't mention that fucking show around me. Do not mention that fucking show around me. I'm going to start frothing at the mouth. Night of the Seven, Nine Kingdoms. Night of the Six, Seven Kingdoms. George R.R. Martin, when I catch you, I'm going to create a shrine in my house to George R.R. Martin. I owe that man everything. George R.R. Martin, please finish the fucking book series. Are you done? And the same applies to Pierce Brown. Are you done? I'm over it. We got fucking Sarah J. Maas fucking book 6 and 7 before 6, 7, and 8 before we got that bullshit. Are you serious, bro? Anyway, George R.R. Martin. This show, Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I have to put sunglasses on. I can't focus. I'm thinking about Peter Claffey. Night of the Seven Kingdoms is one of the best television shows I have seen in recent years. And I mean, I'm not just blowing smoke because it's a Game of Thrones show. what was that shit that came out? Episode 5 of season 1 of Night of the Seven Kingdoms is one of the highest rated television episodes ever to air. And yeah, by the way, that level of storytelling, visual storytelling, timeline storytelling, the actor they cast to play young Duncan, I'm just like, not to do that gif of like absolute cinema, but I have such a profound, there are tears to this shit. Let me just, I'm going to speak freely. There are tears to this shit. There is slop that's enjoyment for, you know, someone who's scrolling on their phone watching TV. There's mid-tier enjoyment for someone who's like, yeah, that show was great. Really made me think. Then there is top line. This is what television is about. Experience every human emotion. It's political intrigue. It is action. It is romance. It is world building. It is everything you could ever want. Maybe I'm biased because it's a fantasy series. And I love fantasy series, and I think there is a right way to do fantasy series. And I don't want to talk too much shit because, you know, some of these other shows, I want some of the actors to come on the court. However, there are wrong ways to do these kind of series, and just throwing money at it, you know, giving it a $600 million, billion-dollar budget does not mean it's going to be a well-done show. It doesn't mean it's going to be the highest rated episode of TV in the last 150 years, bro. TV hasn't been around for 150 years. This show is so good. It's so good. And the way they set it up for season 2 is already starting with some tension and some drama and some plot points that I am so excited to explore. I know they're already filming season 2. Oh my God. Let's talk about Peter Claffey. Do you guys mind? Do you guys mind if we talk about Peter Claffey? Let me guess, Peter Claffey. Put that vine up there.
Hi, my name is Derek. Welcome to Pizza Hut. Let me guess.
Okay, Peter Claffey. What's there to say about an Irishman who used to play rugby and turned into an actor and also sings? What's there to say about that? Put those big-ass blue eyes away. You're scaring me and my homegirls. Whatever you say, blue eyes. Bro. That I'm getting so many TikToks that are like, you're always playing on your phone. I'm not playing on my phone. I'm taking care of business. And it's just 30 edits of Peter Claffey as Sir Duncan the Tall. Yeah. Sir Duncan! Get up! Get up! Get up, sir! What? I'm going as Egg for Halloween. How many times do I have to say it before you guys believe me? I'm going as Egg for Halloween. I'm actually going to be Egg on the Broski Report Halloween episode. So prepare for that. You've never seen me this bald. You will have never seen me that bald. And y'all have seen me bald plenty of times, okay? Oh, Sir Duncan the Tall. I mean, that show is just, it's just great. And the guy who plays Lionel Baratheon, he's great. He's a great actor. The casting is so good. The costuming is great. The prosthetics, the fucking wounds, the bleeding, the mortal injuries. I mean, it is so, not for one second am I ever like, oh, I'm watching a fake TV show. Those are my friends. Everyone in that show is my friend. So fucking good. Guinness break. I'm joking, it's water. I'm literally joking, it's water. I got this at the Guinness storehouse. It's just a thing that looks like Guinness. Okay, I know I mentioned it earlier. Let's go back. The Peaky Blinders premiere for the movie The Immortal Man. What's that shit Tommy Shelby does before he smokes a cigarette? He takes a cigarette and he like rubs it on his lip. And I'm a super fan, and so I know this bullshit. It was actually a thing with the prop because they're fake cigarettes. He smokes fake cigarettes on the show, which thank God, because Tommy Shelby's probably smoked every cigarette on planet Earth. He smoked every cigarette. Smoke them if you got them. Tommy Shelby did. It was actually a character quirk that he invented because the fake cigarettes would get stuck to his lip because it's not real cig paper. And so he would do this kind of tick where he would rub it on the bottom lip so that it wouldn't get stuck, and then he'd light it. Bitch, that was me watching the movie. Let me tell you how this premiere went, okay? Let me tell you what's going on. I arrive, Birmingham, England. What are you guys doing there? Birmingham?
Brummy,
throw it in the court. And that was good.
Throw it in the cut. That was Polly Gray. Michael Gray. That was a bit Australian. Michael. That's kind of how they say it. Arthur. John. Tommy. Ada. Right? I'm kind of, hold on, let me, because that wasn't bad. Duke. Okay. Peaky Blinders, Immortal Man. This series picks up, obviously, at the end of season 6. If there's any Peaky Blinders fans, I'm not going to ruin anything for you. Of course, I would never do that. I would never take away the joy of watching Peaky Blinders for the first time or the Peaky Blinders movie for the first time to an innocent bystander.
Millicent Bystander. Keep your legs straight when you hit the water.
We pick up for the Immortal Man at the end of season 6, where Tommy has fucked off, okay? He has a son. He has 2 sons, but he has a son that he had with a and I'm going to say this word because this is the word they use in the movie and of the time. I know that in modern times there is a better word probably to use, but for the sake of the context of this movie, I will use this term. He has a gypsy son. He got with a gypsy woman, I think before the war, and she got pregnant. He was never a fixture in this boy's life. Now, this boy grew up to eventually take over the Peaky Blinders once Tommy retired, and he is full gypsy, okay? Now, Tommy, a lot of this movie, and I'm not going to spoil it, but a lot of it, which I really, really loved, brings back the gypsy magic, the gypsy blood magic that, you know, Polly really was the conduit for. And Tommy has always had a curse on him. And who's to say if it's a generational family curse because of his grandfather and his mother and, you know, this fate kind of awaits him. And it's called the Immortal Man because he can't die. You know, he's tried, trust he's tried, and he doesn't want to be here anymore, but he can't. And, they really incorporate Tommy returning back to his roots, and some ancillary characters come in. Rebecca Ferguson is fantastic in this movie. She is fan-fucking-tastic. And I didn't know she was Swedish. Shout out to Sweden for Zara Larsson and Rebecca Ferguson and the Skarsgårds. They're Swedish, right? She is fantastic in this movie. Barry Keoghan, say what you will, he was great in this movie. It was a great casting, okay? I think that the interplay between father and son, which is always a dynamic that I'm interested in, you know, because the mother and daughter, father and son, I'm inherently very interested in that because it's so complex and there's so many ways to play it and approach it. And this one was, I just think it is the perfect, like, I trust Stephen Knight, you know what I mean? As the creator of the show, I trusted him and I was not let down, okay? The soundtrack for this album. The soundtrack for this movie, I mean. Why did Grand Chattan do all of it? Like, leave me alone. Hey, Grand Chattan, leave me alone. Let me love you from over here. Leave me alone. Thank God I didn't get that Fontaine's DC tattoo. Could you imagine? I meet him and I'm like pulling my sleeve down. He's like, what's wrong? Nothing. Nothing. It's still healing. The plasma's oozing out of my side. Nothing. And I saw my Fontaine's DC tattoo. I didn't even get that. Speaking of tattoos, I'm going to get a new one soon. I'm going to get the Medieval Times logo. Not really. But I am going to get a medieval tattoo. It's right. And I have this spot here. I've got a bunch of naked skin right here because my sleeve's almost done. I have a bunch of naked skin that I've been wondering, like, what should I get? Because originally I was going to get the Beatles, the 4 little portholes from Yellow Submarine. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore because if I get a color tattoo there, it's just going to fade and look like shit. I think I want to get one of those, like, wood panel engraving, carving etchings of, like, a medieval something, like a knight with an arrow through something or a sword and a knight. Or a knight on a horse. I need to figure out the perfect one. I might have it custom drawn up and done by a tattoo artist who I really like in Austin. But I think it just makes sense. Like, I fucking love Game of Thrones. My show is medieval themed. I love medieval times. Everything is medieval. Everything is medieval times. Oh. So I feel like I have to get that.
So I think that will be in place of where I was going to get a Fontaine's DC tattoo. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Because I already have a damn, I already have two Harry Styles tattoos and I actually did meet him and I was kind of humiliated. So that's actually something you need to think about is if I get a tattoo for someone on my body, do I have to meet them? And I have my Multimami tattoo for Rosalia and I, please stay away from me, Rosalia. Stay away from me. Okay, back to the Peaky Blinders movie. It is fantastic. Like, if you're a fan of Peaky Blinders, I think that you'll be pleased with this movie because there was a lot riding on it. And there were a lot of questions at the end of season six. And yeah, as a fan, I was happy with it. We went to, they were called pre-drinks at the Garrison, which was so fucking slay, where this event space they had it in Birmingham, which I realized it's in Birmingham because obviously the show is set in Birmingham, but also Steven Knight's from Birmingham, which I think is cool and special and amazing. I ran into Ian, you know him? Or Yayan. Put him up here. I fucking love this gay man. I love him. We had a time, bitch. So we got pre-drinks, and I don't really drink. Y'all know I don't really drink since the gallbladder of it all, but I just don't. I was like, let me have a glass of wine. Let me have a glass of wine. Let's pass the time. Let's whatever. Well, six glasses of wine later, I'm drunk. Actually, it was three. I had three glasses of wine, and then we went into the movie, okay? I'm sitting there. Oh, by the way, I have to shout out my girls at Type, T-A-I-P-P-E, Irish-designed, Portuguese-made. They're friends of one of my friends, and last minute, I was like, I have this premiere, and I didn't, because I was invited to the premiere super last minute. I was like, I didn't bring anything that's carpet-worthy. Would you guys mind? And they were like, absolutely. They sent me some shit super last minute. That look was so fucking period, bitch. Put it up here. I felt cunted. I felt so beautiful. And then my British girl, Steve McGlam, Brandon Gaunt, Victoria Bond, Vicky B. I was so, girl, I felt gorgeous. And so I had three glasses of wine deep in Birmingham, England. And I'm in the theater and the movie starts. And about halfway through the movie, I remember thinking, this is the best movie I've ever seen. It was the wine speaking to me. It's a beautiful thing. And so after the movie, we went to this little like after party reception where I was threatened with the presence of Cillian Murphy and Grian Chatton. Stay away from me. I'm not doing Irishman tonight. I'm not really doing Irishman tonight. I don't have it in me. I'm now at this point, five glasses of wine deep. So at this point, I'm at the after party. Can you hear me? Am I breaking up? Are you on the... Okay. We're at the after party. And they're like, Cillian Murphy's upstairs. Do you want to meet him? No. No, I don't. What am I going to say to Cillian Murphy? I got you some brown eye contacts. It's time. It's time. I just start doing like internet memes to him. I'm like, have you ever seen the meme of 6-7, 6-7? He blows up. Anyway, don't ever do that to me. Okay, let's move on. What else have I been doing? Oh my God, I went to Paris again. I'm a fashion girl now because you bitches can't tell me anything. I've always loved fashion, but I've just been too big and fat in the fashion industry's eyes. I've been a big fucking fatty because apparently anything above a size 12 is a big fucking fatty and a size 12 is a big fucking fatty. And we're also in the Ozempic age. Everybody, oh my God, everyone's wasting away. It was just like, I feel very honored to be included, but at the same time, you can be included and still have a critical eye turn towards the fashion industry at large. Okay. I got invited to, and shout out all the brands that have invited me because they are size inclusive. Patou, Jimmy Choo. I was just in Paris for Acne Studios, which is so gag because when I think of acne, I think of Rosalia. Bitch, I was living my Rosalia fantasy down. I was getting my life. The show was so fun. They did these cool, it was like a blazer reimagined, shift it 90 degrees, and it was hanging off the side of the models by this little strap that was along the shoulder. It was so cool. And I shit like that is just so, when it's inventive and it's a different way to do it and it's the untrodden path, I love shit like that. So it was very kind of whimsical and I'm so happy to be included. We sat there, me and my sister went, and Chapel walks in, and I said, oh, Chapel, Chapel. We hugged. It was so cute. And then Lucy Dacus from Boy Genius was there, and I met Vivian Wilson. I mean, the girls were out. So we had a time. And then I flew back home literally like 2 days ago, and then we filmed Royal Court tomorrow. Bitch, I am boom, 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 boom. This shit is not for the weak. And on top of kind of all the excitement, I will say, because you guys are my friends, I am a little burnt out. I didn't do the podcast last week because I ran out of time, and I sometimes just don't have the energy in me. Like, I really don't, to come on and, you know, show my butthole on camera. Sometimes it escapes me, and then I feel guilty about that because I'm like, this is the easiest job in the world. But all these other things take my energy as well, that sometimes when it's like, okay, need to come back, sit down at the desk and just talk face to face with my girls, with my people, I have nothing left. And it's weird. And I think I need to go back to therapy because I think that I should have something left. But then is that me being too hard on myself? You know, because this is still a job, even if it's the most fun job I could have ever. It's a fake job that I conjured up out of my own imagination. But it does take a lot to be on like that all the time. And to interview, you have to be very present. And the traveling is, it really exhausts me. And it takes a toll on my body. I've been kind of sick lately, like a lot of different health stuff. So it's just, it's been a lot. And I kind of wanted to speak plainly, so it's not like, oh, she's not doing another episode. I feel very burnt out, and I'm trying my best. I feel like I'm running on fumes, but I feel like I disappoint you guys sometimes, and it's a shitty, horrible feeling that I kind of beat myself up for, but I'm back. And the only reason I get to do any of this fun shit is because of you guys, so it's like I owe it to sit down and be like, here are my songs of the week. Like, it really is that easy. Just here's what I've been loving lately. So in that vein, I have a list of somewhat hyperfixated topics and videos that I have been watching that I would like to share with you guys right now. So the Broski Report is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Number one. I'm not sure if any of you weirdo bitches are familiar with eye cleaning ASMR. Eye cleaning ASMR. Yeah, that's where they put their fingers like this over the camera, and then they glue on some eyelashes so it looks like you have eyelashes and you're looking through the little fingers, and then they put tweezers in it and they pull out your eye. And then they put it somewhere else. And all the comments were always like, ow, ow, ow. But give it back. It's my only one. Give it back. And then they put like cleaning liquid in the fucking eye socket, bitch. You don't want to know what I'm doing after 11 p.m. After 11 p.m. on my iPhone, it gets a little funky. It gets a little international. Okay. I'm super international post 11 p.m. I follow this account. I believe they're German. It's an account called Female ASMR, and it is what I'm assuming is a husband and wife, and they do ASMR on each other, and it gets a little freak. They're a little freaky with it, and they're very inventive. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what they're doing, but I open there whenever it's time to go to sleep. Boom, female ASMR. Sleep apnea to female ASMR. I'm not joking, bitch. Whatever y'all are doing over there in Germany, keep it up. ASMR speaking. ASMR-ologically, okay? I like them. I follow this girl named
Fairy Alina ASMR. No, she does the eye cleaning. She's over there cleaning eyes. So she'll do $1 eye cleaning, $1 eye cleaning. You need to go watch her. If you have been feeling like there's some brain fog, maybe your eyes are cloudy, you need to go see her. Tell her I sent you. I watch a lot of shit like that. And she doesn't speak English. I believe she speaks some Eastern European language. I'm not even going to try to guess. Okay. Because I get the auto-generated captions. to English. Because it's post 11 p.m. I'm not. Okay. Now I watch those two. Something else. Moving from TikTok over to Reels. Moving over to Meta Reels. I follow this girl, and I wish I knew her name. There are a few different accounts that I follow on Instagram where they make, and follow me here, 3D printed clicker fidget toys. I am on fidget toy TikTok and Instagram Reels because I like them, and I think it's an art form. And sometimes they're so cute when I'm high, I buy them. The most recent purchase I got, I follow this one girl. She makes 3D printed clickers. And it is a cereal bowl of Lucky Charms. And she 3D printed them. And it's in two separate parts because she does the whole process. She'll print it. And by the way, what is 3D printing? Surely it's toxic. Surely whatever it is shouldn't be on your hands. I don't care. I'm clicking that thing. I'm going crazy on that thing. I'm going pork and beans on it. She prints them separately. And she does it on this thin little tray. And she does... And she cracks it in both ways, and then she slides them off. Oh my God, it's so satisfying. I just got a chill thinking about it. She slides them off. Then she does the same with the topper, which is the little, like, it's the spoon in the Lucky Charms. And she slides them off. And then in the little hole, because it 3D prints it weird, she has to take little tweezers and pull out the bullshit. And then she puts the clicker inside. But she puts the glue on the clicker in a very satisfying way. I don't know the name. I'm going to put the name of her account in the description because I don't remember. Because I'm never looking at the name. I'm looking at the content because the content really is impactful to me. It really does something for me. And then she glues it and then she puts the thing on top and then she does, and she clicks it. Now there are haptic clickers, which means loud. And then there are silent clickers. So you can do that. I've also been real big into fidget magnets. All right, guys, I'm into fidget magnets. You do a lot of, you can flip them down, you can click it, you can do this, whatever. And I have the silent ones because I'm not going to be that annoying bitch on the plane that's clicking and clacking and sliding and fidgeting and functioning. I'm not doing it. I'm respectful. I'm American. I'm a respectful. So those are kind of what I've been viewing on the internet. On top of that, I've been getting a lot of mountain videos. Yeah, just videos of mountains. And I'm scared. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of the mountains. I'm scared of drones and helicopters that fly through caverns and things that are, that's way too big. That's way too big. And I remember in the sixth grade, because my dad was a pilot, we went to Hawaii. We went to Hawaii and my dad was like, I want to go up in a helicopter. It was a family vacation. And they found this company to take us up in a helicopter over some volcano. Bitch, I've never been more scared in my fucking life. I've never been more scared in my goddamn life. And now I'm realizing, and I wanted to Google it on the podcast, of course, because that's a fear, and it's a valid fear, of like, nature is too big. Whatever that is, I have it. And this is your next question, I'm sure, to which I don't have an answer, and I would love to Google the phenomena and the, you know, kind of curse that has been placed on me here, because these two ideas are in opposition, okay? They're opposing. I am afraid of nature. I'm afraid of the sublime quality of how large and bigger than me and greater than me nature is. It could wipe me out at any fucking second. That is a valid fear. And I mean genuinely afraid, like panic attack. And on the flip side, I never want to die. I have such an I love being alive. Being alive is my hobby. It's my passion. Okay? Death scares me. And I don't like to think about it in a very real sense. I don't like anything about death. I can't. So how does that appreciation for life and fear of nature, how do those two things interact? I don't know. And honestly, I don't even know who to call about it. I feel very alone in that regard. Does anyone else?
Hello?
Does anyone else feel the same? Is anyone else fearful of the sublimity of nature?
Fear of sublimity of nature.
Unlike simple beauty, the sublime mixes pleasure with fear or depth of awfulness. That's literally what it is. Drawing observers in while inducing a sense of danger. Philosopher Edmund Burke defined it as a blend of terror and admiration.
Yeah. Edmund Burke, sublime.
Oh, I need to get into this. A philosophical inquiry into the origin of our ideas of the sublime and beautiful, published in 1757. Yeah, let me go ahead and read this. You know, I read some Lord Byron last summer, and I also read the Life and Works of Thomas Cole. I was in a real, like, academic era, and I never talked about it on the podcast because I was like, I don't want to bore them to fucking tears. But now, looking back, I probably should. But also, I might talk about that in a different sense in a project that is coming out, you know, maybe this year. Anyway, Edmund Burke and related authors. It's very indicative of that time of the art style as well, like Romanticism and the sublime really celebrated the vastness and unimaginable largeness of nature and how we are not in control of nature. And no matter how hard we try, we love to play God. We are humbled over and over and over. And we will never be God, but we will try. And also entering into this conversation, and I would love if I could go back in time and travel and talk to Edmund Burke or Thomas Cole or any of, you know, the people who were of that time who celebrated and respected nature for what it was, like truly unimaginable power that only nature holds. And of course, they believed nature was created by God, which, yes. But what does that mean? And there's so many gray areas in that. And what, you know, why? I think that if I could go back and talk to them, I'd be like, what do you guys think about nuclear warheads? What do you guys think about nukes? Because that is us playing God. And by the way, we will and have. And it's devastating, the effects of it. What about Chernobyl? What about these things where we have maybe broken this barrier of like human playing God? And maybe we have for a second, for a millisecond of the infinite landscape and timeline of life on Earth. There have been moments where it's peaked of like, we have broken through in a way that is scary and never should have been broken through like that. I think humans were made to be submissive to a power that is like a higher power, not any power that comes from a man, but this kind of larger spiritual power. We are never meant to eclipse that because horrible, horrible things, pain and suffering come from when we try to eclipse that. And it's hubris and it's ego and it is ultimately pointless and hopeless. All that being said, let's see what Edmund Burke had to say. Diderot and Immanuel Kant. I remember reading about them in AP Art History. According to Burke, the beautiful is that which is well-formed and aesthetically pleasing, whereas the sublime is that which has the power to compel and destroy us. Exactly. Exactly, Edmund. The preference for the sublime over the beautiful was to mark the transition from the neoclassical to the romantic era. The work includes criticism of the idea that beauty is dependent on proportion. Beauty hath usually been said to consist in certain proportions of parts. On considering the matter, I have great reason to doubt whether beauty be at all an idea belonging to proportion. I need to read this.
People just don't think like this anymore. People just don't think like this anymore. They're thinking about being perceived and bullshit like that don't fucking matter. What about the mountain? What about the mountain is scary? What about Misty Mountain High? What about Dungeons Deep and Mountains High? Y'all are not fearing nature the way that I need you to. Yeah, that's just been something I've been thinking. I mean, I'll probably read about this alone and I might talk about it next week maybe. But I've been thinking about that a lot and it scares the shit out of me. I get mountain videos and I genuinely have to close my phone and like look at 5 things you could see, 4 things you could touch. Like, bro, what is that? And can I do talk therapy for it?
Is there a term for fear of the sublime? Delightful horror? Ain't shit delightful about it, bro. Ooh, I'm gonna watch this YouTube video later. Is the sublime associated with fear? Philosophy Beyond. I will be watching that.
Oh my God, forgot to mention, if you've made it this far in the episode, if you're watching the Oscars next weekend,
wait,
yeah, this weekend, shit. If you're watching the Oscars this weekend,
There is an after party that Quinn, Jake Shane, and I are hosting the carpet for. Tune into that. I believe it'll be a live stream. I'm so, so, so looking forward to it. It's going to be a damn blast. We're doing it with Vanity Fair. And I love the team at Vanity Fair. They're great. They did that spread for the new late night with me and Jake and Quinn and Sean Evans and Julian. And I mean, it was just what a great celebration of this shift in culture that's happening. It's really, I feel very honored. And yeah, we're going to have fun. So tune into that if you give a shit. I know a lot of y'all don't give a shit about me. But if you do, go ahead and turn in. Tune in. Okay, let's do some housekeeping really quick. If you have not seen The Royal Court with Harry Styles, just go watch it. Just go watch it. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go watch it right now. We have so many exciting guests that we've had on and are having on. There's one person we're filming with tomorrow that I'm like, wow. Hey, what the fuck? How did we get him? How do you know who I am? That's who we're having on. I believe he comes out in April. Now, we have a new Clips channel. If you or anyone you know, any of your loved ones, have ever been intimidated by the length of a Broski Report episode, no longer. Fear no longer. We have a Clips channel. Go subscribe to that if you want. It's the official Broski Clips channel. It'll be across everything that I do, and we're just kind of chopping it down. So go subscribe to that. We have a new video on the Brittany Broski main channel, I Save Matt Damon. No context. Go watch it. Merch, broski.shop. If you would like Broski Report merch, if you would like a moo-moo, go to broski.shop. We have a Patreon. That is the Broski Report ad-free. If you hate my fucking ads, I understand. Go to Patreon. Ad-free. There is an official Broski Nation Broski Report playlist. Any song I mention goes on that playlist. There's also an unofficial Broski Nation playlist, and shout out to the girl who updates it at every mention. Every single song I mention, she puts it on there. Shout out to you, girl, because you're actually employee of the month. I have a few new additions to songs of the week. Here are they as following. Awesome. Awesome. Normal syntax. Season 2 Weight Loss. And Are You Listening Yet? Those are my two picks from the album that I really, really need you guys to listen to. If you don't listen to it all the way through, go ahead and listen to those songs off Harry's album. I did not realize, like I said earlier, that Green Chatton did, along with a few other people, and Carlos O'Connell from Fontaines, did the soundtrack for Peaky Blinders, the movie. And so there are two songs on there that are on my songs of the week that I can't stop playing. One is Black Dahlia and one is Puppet, which I've talked about Puppet before. I love that fucking song. I'm just super Peaky pilled this week. I'm very Peaky Blinders pilled. Those are my songs of the week. And K1 is about to release a new album, which I am geeking for. I love that bitch. I love K1. So keep that shit in mind. Thanks so much. I love you guys. I am so back. It feels good to be back. Sorry I've been kind of like in my head, a lot of shit's going down. A lot of things are changing. And I feel like sometimes I can't find stable ground to stand on while trying to keep up and trying to be like high energy. And it's just a lot sometimes. And maybe that's part of my astrological whatever, where I need to like recharge. I need to be alone and be introverted for a second and recharge. And unfortunately, I don't have time to do that. So I'm trying not to burn myself out too bad. But I am here. Sorry if I'm a bit low energy. And I love you guys. And we've got so many exciting things. It's only March. How is it only March? I hope you guys are okay. I'm sending love to everyone where they are. As always, I have useful links in the description if you are feeling altruistic. And you have to believe in hope. Okay? Here in Broski Nation, we believe in hope. So if you don't believe in hope, get the hell out of here. It's the only option. Okay? Love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months.
Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
What if you could get more from what you already do? When you're a Shell Fuel Rewards member, you can. When you join, you'll save 10 cents per gallon on your first fill, 20 cents per gallon on your second, 30 cents per gallon on your third, and more savings on every fill after that. Join the Shell Fuel Rewards program in the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is closer than you think.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.